this church service. And then afterwards, we're going to have ham and turkey and have a big meal that we need lots of help on, because there's going to be at least 100 of us, probably more. So that's lots of salads and Jell-O and all that kind of stuff. So we need help. So come to the table back there and participate. You really don't want to miss out on this opportunity. I'm excited. It's going to be a great opportunity for our church to be involved in. So, with that, we have life groups in this church. If there's any meeting Friday, Sunday morning, or Tuesday night, if we would want you to go to at least one meeting, it would be a Tuesday night meeting in a group that meets in a home, because that's really where we get transparent. That's where people really get to know each other. It's really where you grow in your faith. We've seen it time and time again. It's actually, for myself personally, that's where God has really grown my faith and challenged me and given me lifelong relationships that we all need. You don't want to fly solo. So be involved in these life groups. Like I said, we have a recovery group that meets every Sunday at 1 o'clock. So come and check that out as well. God is doing special things through that group. And on Wednesday nights, our youth group is preparing that drama. So if you have a teenager between 7th grade and 12th grade, get them to that. And there's a sweet group of people involved in that. And it's just good for us to be together and hang out, whether the drama flies or not. But I think it will. It's going to be good. Baptisms, we do that the third Sunday of the month. And that's coming up this coming weekend. Actually, on Friday night and Sunday morning, we will do baptisms. So if you're at a place where, you know, I don't know, when I was a little baby, I got sprinkled. But if you don't understand baptism or you want to figure that out, come and talk to me. And if you're at a place where you've accepted Jesus into your life, you need to be baptized. It's plain and simple. You need to be baptized. And it has nothing to do with your salvation, but it gives glory to God. And tells as you show the world, as you humble yourself and show the world what Jesus has done for your life. So that's coming up this week. Let me know if you want to be involved in that, if you're ready to get baptized, and we'll talk about it. Also, our tithe and offering box simply hangs on the wall back by the two black doors over there. You'd miss it if you weren't looking for it. But that's where we give to the Lord. That's how we run this church, is through that little black box financially. And with that, I want to go ahead and dismiss the kids. And let you know, at this church, the kids' programs are they're an important part of what we're doing. It isn't just a babysitting thing. It isn't just part of this church. It is more than part of this church. We put resources and people spend time preparing different things. And God's blessed over the years in our different Sunday services for the children. And that's continuing. So what we'll do typically is the little ones, the babies and whatnot, when you come in, you can drop them off up front in those two rooms up front. And then after we worship together, the kids go, and you can see now they're gathering back there. And that's a glory to God, because they're going to talk about Jesus. They're going to do different things. And sometimes that's just so sweet and simple. It's a beautiful thing. So, but that's not a babysitting thing here. We take our children's programs very seriously. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and pray with you guys. I really appreciate it. If you pray with me, we ask God to come and help us, come meet us right where we're at. So let's pray together. Father God, we need you this morning. I need you, certainly, God. And I know that you know that. This is not news to you. But God, we do. We call on your Spirit to come here in power right now, Father God. No matter what I say, I pray your words would be on our hearts and minds, God, that you would teach us something this morning. You would show us something, God. We want to grow closer to you. We want to know you just a little more intimately today, God. Would you change us? Father God, we don't want to just have another routine Sunday. We want to see you. So pray you come in power. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. And I just so appreciate that song. It is well with my soul. You know, no matter what's happened to you, even getting here this morning, or maybe there's some crazy things going on in your life, if you know the Lord, it is well with your soul. It is well with my soul. I was meditating on that when we were singing. I was thinking, that's it. That's it. You know, no matter what, because I had kind of crazy morning. I'll tell you about it in a little bit here. But it is well with my soul. I'm good to go. You know, come on back, Jesus. It's good. Let's check. You be here. Let's do it. So God is good. So I'm going to continue this morning with our Blueprints series, which is, I think it's really been good, building plans for a strong family. So what we've been talking about this week is part 7, in addition, transitioning into parenting. And what I'd like to do is just take a little review back. So this is an 11-part series, and I just want to touch on a little bit where we've been and where we're going. We've been talking about marriage primarily, and we're transitioning into family and into having kids and what that looks like. So let's just look back a little bit. On week one, we talked about the initial drawings. That was the title. The initial drawings, having God's vision. What is God's vision we talked about? What is God's plan for us? Where do we find that plan? He said to give you a hope and a future. This was just part of that first week's teaching. I had a couple of verses that went along with that that are powerhouse verses. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. What a fantastic verse that is. God has a plan for us. In Proverbs as well, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. And week one, that's what we talk about. God, there is a plan. We have a hope and a future. And God, and we look for his plan. Where is that? And it's God's word. We talked about that. God's word. And having the plan isn't all the answer. Then we have to obey it. That was the next thing we talked about. Week two, we talked about God's plan for men. We just talked about different roles and God's plan for men. Called it the contractor's role. God's plan for men. I remember, I went the wrong way. Remember, we started off with grow up, and all the women were going, yeah, yeah. and I like this verse, let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in truth. You were taught, let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all that has been done. Said, so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous. In truth, you were taught. In the truth that you were taught. So we had to talk about our roots growing down and really knowing God so that we could lead our families. Talked about, for men specifically, to grow up, pursue purity, serve, love and lead your wives, and depend on Jesus. That's enough, guys. Don't miss that. And then the next week three, we talked about God's plan for women, the subcontractor's role. And we talked about knowing Jesus. And I like this verse, these verses. First one, 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. We talked about women, about knowing Jesus. Do you know him? And that needs to be the foundation of your life. I like this verse in Proverbs 31:30. Of course, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So that's what we talked about. We talked about wives submitting to your husbands and striving to be a wife of noble character as found in Proverbs 31. And we talked about the woman's role. We talked about a few other things. And all of these teachings you can always get online. I don't think these are quite loaded up yet, but we do make copies of everything. So there's certainly audio available, and we're trying to make video available on this series as well, too. So hopefully it all works out. Week four, Josh came down, and I think Josh's teaching, it's just a powerhouse teaching on constructive communication. He came back down, and not only just for husband and wife, for all of us. We need to know how to resolve conflict. Conflict is really, remember, the doorway to intimacy. If you can work through conflict with no matter who it is, it's really kind of a doorway to intimacy, not only husband and wife, but for us with other people, to be able to resolve conflict. But I'm going to take that teaching myself and make copies, and when people come to my house for counseling, I'm going to give him one of those, because it is. He just did a great job of just some really good stuff on constructive communication, which is huge for all of us. Whether you're married or not, we all need help with our communication, because we just miss it. At least I do. Maybe I'm the only one that struggles with this, but I see it all the time that communication is a difficult thing. Know your spouse, we talked about. In communication, you got to talk to each other. You got to know each other. You got to take time out to know each other. And I like this verse in Genesis. This is one lots of people use in their wedding ceremonies. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they'll become one flesh. God no longer sees this single person, the man and the woman. It's man and woman, one flesh. What a beautiful thing that is. And in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Of course this includes the husband and wife and everyone else too. But of course this includes your spouse, husband and wife. Love one another. Week 5, then we got kind of a little red-faced when we went into the intimacy in marriage. And I said some things in church that you probably never heard in church before. But intimacy is an important part of not only marriage, but of life. There's a few verses. I like this verse in Ephesians. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. So we talked about one man, one woman in the marriage covenant, and that's where God's plan for intimacy fits. And it doesn't fit outside of that. So we talked about if you are living together or different situations or you're having sex together before marriage, you're not going down the plan that God's laid out. And it can be harmful. So God's plan for intimacy, that was a good talk. I like this 1 Corinthians, Phil Hahn actually taught here Friday night, and his charge was 1 Corinthians 7. He did a great job with these verses. Now, concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. He says it's good for that. And the guys are going, what? But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman his own husband. So if you're single, just relish that. That's not a bad thing. If God has you at that place, that's a good place to be and embrace it. But if you're at a place where you're ready to take the next step, he's saying that's good too. A man should and a woman together, that's God's plan in marriage. And that's where all the intimacy fits. That's where it's unrolled, and it's a beautiful thing that God has created for us and put in place for us. And last week, we talked about following godly examples. And I brought up three of the deacons and their wives, Justin and Lee Evenson and Chrissy and Cindy here from Provo, and Jeff and Brenda Porter from Sandy. We came up here, and we had a little Tonight Show kind of scene here. I had the guys up here and grilled them with some questions, and that was good. There's some good verses here. We loved you so much that we delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. We talked about how important it is, no matter where you're at in life, to have people in your life, to have examples that you're following, and not to fly solo. In this verse in Hebrews, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And I just want to highlight that again, that just be with like-minded Christians. Be with people. Get into one of these life groups where you can be transparent, where you can have a brother or sister in your life that can help you. We need people in our life. Don't try to do it on your own. In America these days, that's the deal, you know. Drive up bank, drive up food. You don't have to interact with anybody necessarily. On the computer, you can talk to people. Honestly, God created us to be together, and each and every one of us, me included, I need godly examples. I need to be rubbing shoulders with people that can influence me for the good. Bad company corrupts good character. We need to be with people that can influence us for good, for the kingdom. All right, all that, now we're on track, right? Kind of, sort of. Well, today we're going to kind of transition. So we've talked about marriage and God's plan for that, and the covenant, and so we've been working on that, and communication, and getting all, now we're transitioning to, there's a baby involved here. There's a transition into parenting. And that's this morning what I want to touch on. It's just this transitioning into parenting. And then we're going to go right on next week. We're going to talk about discipline with kids. But today, we're just talking about that transition, going from not having kids in your life to having a child in your life. That's a huge change. That's a huge change. Okay, so let's get started. I just want to talk about three transitional helps to parenting. And the first one, it's just to have a godly plan. Okay, so if we're in God's design and we fall in love, we're married now, we made a covenant before God, and now we're going to be doing a transition here. And in his infinite wisdom, God set some things in place for us, didn't he? The pregnancy takes like 9 months, okay? And maybe you don't really even realize that till after 2 months. You say, oh, we're pregnant. We're going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby. And that's just like, oh, yes, baby. But the thing is that if you're at that place and this can apply to anybody. If nothing else, you can go and tell someone you know and help them out with this. That's God has given us a big warning, raising the flag. You're pregnant, get ready. This is not a time to procrastinate. Believe me, I've been through it. This is not a time to say, oh, yeah, let's just sit home and watch movies. We're pregnant, that's good. This is a time to get ready. You got to be getting ready. When we first, our first baby, Kelsey, was born, our oldest daughter, I was not ready. So I'm going to show you what I did. And actually, don't do that. So, yeah, we did. Jeannie and I, we procrastinated. We're pregnant, you know, it's natural. It'll all take care of it. We'll be all right. We just went about on our merry way. So, one particular day, I get laid off from my job. So, and Jeannie's really pregnant. She's really pregnant. We really haven't done anything to get ready. That evening, we were going to go. Or we did go to our first Lamaze class, or I guess they call it birthing class now. You know, I grew up in Iowa. I grew up on a farm. I've seen things born, but I never had seen my own baby born. But so I figured, this is going to be a piece of cake. We'll just get her done. We'll raise them. But so I got laid off. We went to the birthing class. We went home. We're laying in bed together. And the water breaks. And I'm like, oh, what do we do now? It's really going to happen. I had not planned mentally anything. That night at the birthing class, probably the first time I really started to engage with a little bit, and God in his kindness kind of showed us some things. But we were not Christians at the time. We didn't know the Lord, so we didn't have him to trust. He was there, drawing us to him, but we didn't have faith. We didn't have a foundation to stand on. So, this is a whirlwind thing. We went to. She actually came. Five weeks early. She was born 5 weeks early, little Kelsey. And she had to stay in the hospital for a week, and it was just a stressful, really hard time for us. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't have a clue. We didn't have people in our lives. The only people we had influence in our life was my partying buddies, and they really weren't any help at all at this time. You know, they wanted me to bring them a cigar. That was about it. I remember driving away from the hospital, and we had this tiny little girl. And I remember thinking, I cannot believe they're letting us take this little girl home. And we got home, and we didn't have anything ready. And we ended up putting her in, we had a nightstand next to our bed, and we took the drawer out of it and put a blanket in there. And there you go. That was our nursery. And we started that way. And God's been kind. He's helped us with our kids. But I just want to put a little explanation point on things here. If you're going to have a baby, you got, you know, maybe 6 months to get your act together. I thought it was really good. Gabe and Shea had a baby shower, and they're going to have a baby here in December. And I thought it was really good. I think probably Donya came up with it. But she asked everyone to bring diapers, which I thought was brilliant. It really is because, during this, let's say, six-month period of getting ready, man, you need to be stockpiling. You need to get the license taken, registered in your car. You need to get things taken care of and getting out of the way. Because it just gets crazy. You're going to be tired. Oh, my goodness. You're going to be exhausted. So it's time to get ready. And, you know, and during this time, the mom's going to be, there's this emotional roller coaster thing, hormone thing that goes on. And she's gonna be crying, and she's gonna be happy, and she's gonna be all this. And you, as a husband, you're gonna be crying because she's crying, and it's just gonna be, and nobody's gonna be sleeping, and you're gonna be tired, and what about this and that? It's hard. It is. So God, in His infinite wisdom, gives us a 6-month pregnancy period where we need to prepare, we need to plan, we need to get ready. You know, and we need to be telling our friends and neighbors this. Oh, you're pregnant? Get ready. You ought to get ready, you know. Certainly, this isn't necessarily the time to get Netflix. That might come in handy, but you need to get things ready. Get the house in order. It's really not rocket science. To get ready for what God is doing. I like this verse in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son. But he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. We can certainly use this verse in a number of situations. I'm going to use it this morning in this one. If you're going to become a parent, whether you've been through it 8 times before or not, you need to get ready and be ready. It's just a wise thing to do. Don't do like I did and be surprised. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails, you know. And you can plan things, you know. We have a couple of different camps probably even in planning a birth control, okay. And one camp's over here, and they say, oh, just trust God. Just trust God. You're married now. Get her done. You know, just trust God. And then you have this other camp over here that they are planning out every little thing. In fact, his 16th birthday will be in the fall because that's when he's going to be born at such a time that we'll, on his 16th birthday in 2026, we'll invite all our friends. It's just a whole different camp, you know. And it's between you and your spouse and God on what you decide to do, whether you decide to wait, or if you're ready to have a baby. And there again, it's so good to seek counsel, to get counsel from other people. But many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. I promise you, God's purpose will prevail. But you need to be talking to each other. You need to be praying and seeking the Lord in that, and what direction you're going to take, and how you're going to proceed, and when you're going to have a baby, and the timing of all of that. And Proverbs 15, it says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they exceed. Get counsel from others, for goodness sakes. You know, it's just pride if you don't. It really is. It's pride. Oh, you'll just figure it out. No, ask somebody for help. There's lots of people who have been through it before. You know, for years and years, thousands of years, people have gone through this process. Ask people for help. Ask the Lord for help. Why wouldn't you? You need to do that. You and I need to be better at that. I like this quote from Carl Sandburg. A baby is God's opinion that the world should go on. It's a good quote. Here's another little story that I'm going to read you. I'll just go ahead and read it. A woman was at home doing some cleaning when the telephone rang. In going to answer it, she tripped on a scatter rug and, grabbing for something to hold on to, seized the telephone table. It fell over with a crash, jarring the receiver off the hook. As it fell, it hit the family dog, who leaped up, howling and barking. The woman's 3-year-old son, startled by this noise, broke into loud screams. The woman mumbled some colorful words. She finally managed to pick up the receiver and to lift it to her ear just in time to hear her husband's voice on the other end saying, "Nobody said hello yet, but I'm positive I have the right number." You know, things can kind of change and get crazy in the household when you transition from not having kids to having kids. It is. It just everything changes at that point. And here's what happens. We're called to lose our selfishness. This is really where the rubber meets the road. Let me share this verse with you. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Lose your selfishness. You know, God is so good at helping with this in child raising. It's really where the rubber meets the road. You know, God uses different things in our lives. Last night, we had this big CD release party, 800 people. This big event that, as a church, the Rock Church, we were excited about, and all the musicians were excited about. And about an hour before the actual show started, the soundboard died. I mean, it went, and we have some people that are really talented and really good at taking care of stuff like that. But in our humanness, we all went, oh! Everyone is like, what are we going to do? 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 We planned this. There's 800 people out there, and the musicians are primed and ready, and we don't have a sound system. But God used that, you know, in such a special way. Because he drew together all the musicians together, still said, okay, let's go upstairs and pray now. We need to pray. So all these musicians, and God's blessed us with a bunch of them, are up in this room praying and with tears in their eyes. We love you, God. If this is what you have for us, that's good. Thank you. Thank you that this were. I was talking to Steele just before he went up there. And I said, this is good, Steele. You know, maybe this is what God has for us. 800 of us together praying. Maybe that's what God wanted. It's not about the music anyway. It's about Jesus. It always has been. It always will be. And God's just refining us here. Let's embrace it. He didn't know that inside I'm going, oh, man, what are we going to do? But God used that time to refine us. Oh, my goodness, having children, God uses that time to just peel that selfishness off of us. This morning, we had some technical challenges going on, which is always a good sign that God's going to have a good service for us. And I was scrambling to get the songs. The slides were on my computer. Somehow I didn't end up with them in my pocket when I got here. So I had to drive back home to get the off my computer, to take a jump drive and get off the computer. So I'm flying home and woo, 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 woo. You know, it's like 9:30. And the guy, officer, pulled me over and he comes up and he says, what's your hurry? And I told him, well, I'm a pastor of the Rock Church and I'm going to start church pretty soon and I have to get some stuff off my computer. He said, well, you're going 39 and a 25. And he wrote me a ticket. And I just said, well, thank you, Lord, you are refining me again. It's not about me. You are teaching me not to be selfish. Somehow in this, God, you are teaching me, or you're providing me a colorful illustration for church this morning. And he came back and it was just a warning. He said, and he's scrambling. He was hurrying up to get it ready for me. And he just gave me a warning and off he went. You know, people in this town have been taking good care of this church. They've been looking out for us, and I know God's on top of all that, and he's orchestrating it, but it's a beautiful thing. I want to tell you another little story about selfishness, because this is huge. There's something's going to change in your life. Maybe you haven't walked through the window of children yet, but when you do, something changes. Selfishness, I mean, you just, it's over, man. It's not your milk anymore. It's not your food. It's not your comfort. It's not your nap. It's not your thing. It's over. Your stuff is done. You know, and it's good for us to go through this, but that's so true. When I was younger, I was an electrician for like 25 years. Worked as an electrician in a number of different situations, but at one point in my career, when I was living in Colorado, I got burned really bad. There was an explosion, an electrical explosion that I did. I managed to make things blow up. My screwdriver crossed two things it shouldn't have, and it blew up in my face. I mean, blew up. And I got blown way back, and I was burned really bad, and I had to go to the hospital. And it's an entertaining story, but I'm not going to give you all the details. Anyway, so I'm in the hospital, and they do this thing called debridement. And I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But when you're burned, your skin can get contaminated, as mine had, because I got burned in my chest and my face and my hands. My hands real bad and my arms. And so what they have to do is they have to get that contaminated skin off. So I was sitting in this tub, and they do this. They give me some morphine. Thank God for that. They give me some morphine. And then they peeled that old skin off. I call it debridement. And it was horrific pain. Even with the pain medicine they gave me, it was horrific pain. I cried like a baby. But I just want to tell you, this selfishness thing is it's hard for us to give up our stuff to get that peeled away. But in God's kindness, He gives us children to do that, and that's by His design. He doesn't want a bunch of selfish people running around. He wants us to be unselfish completely. And He uses this process, I think, as well to help us lose our selfishness and quit thinking, oh, it's me, mine, me, mine, me, mine. I got to take care of me, mine. Now there's, who's this? There's a third one here. And fourth and fifth, all of a sudden children come. They're more important than you are now. As a matter of fact, by God's design, He just said, we read a verse there, thinking of others as better than yourself. Others. That's everyone else. Thinking of others as better than yourself. That's everyone else. That's a hard, hard, hard lesson that I'm still trying to learn. Because I have some of my stuff that I'm just not going to let go of. But God says, yes, you will. I'll loosen that grip of yours. Let me show you this thing. Let me show you, put that in your life. And you deal with that because I want you to submit to me and I want you to trust God. And you got to know that I have others in mind and it's not about you. That's the first line in the purpose-driven life. It's not about you. The book that was written by Rick Warren, I love that first line. It is not about you. And selfishness that and raising family, boy, you got to get that figured out. Husband and wife, you need to figure that out. Serve that husband. Serve that wife. Serve them. Die to yourself. You know, don't get into the game of I'm doing more than you. I'm busier than you. I'm doing all the house cleaning. I'm doing all this. It's all me. Try to outserve each other, and it'll go well with you. That selfishness thing. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. There is fruit. There's result. From serving others, from refreshing others. There's a God-given fruit from that. There's a result from that. There's a product from that. When you pour your life out, God will pour blessings into your life. You just give it a go. You give it a try. As you pour out, and it's not monetary, it's not something you can really even grasp necessarily, but you know I'm on track because I'm giving my life away. And you know what? That's the only thing that makes sense once you get into that. I'm still trying to figure that out. In 1 Corinthians, I like this verse in chapter 10, verse 24. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. God really spells it out really clearly for us. You know, a Christ-like self-sacrifice must happen to maintain harmony in the home. It's just as simple as that. As simple as that. You know, and I just want to tag you dads, especially you. Especially you, dads, you know, especially you. We need to lead out in that. We need to be the servants. We need to. We need to get off our butts and be servants in our families. Here's another good quote by Charles Osgood. Babies are always more trouble than you thought and more wonderful. I can't imagine life without my babies that are older now. I just can't imagine it. I can't. And a third one, transitioning into parenting, you'd better learn how to pray. Better learn how to pray. And you know what? This isn't just for having babies. This is life. We need to learn how to pray. We need to implement this in our lives. I do. I need to grow up in my prayer life. You need to grow up in your prayer life. We all need. Some of you are ahead of me on this, but why wouldn't we pray? Now, I always quote D. Duke. He always talks about, for his church, he has an amazing ministry. But he says, much prayer, much blessing. Little prayer, little blessing. No prayer, no blessing. And that is so true. Let's look at some verses here. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Backwards again. Here's another one. James 5:16. We always talk about this one. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. There's such good verses. Look at this quote from Charles Spurgeon, one of my spiritual heroes. Whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom. If you may have everything by asking in his name and nothing without asking, I beg you to see how absolutely vital prayer is. Pray, prayer, pray. Pray in the morning, pray all day, pray in the evening, pray. We need to get this figured out, because that's one place that Satan doesn't want us to. He doesn't want us to have personal, intimate prayer time talking to the creator of the universe, because he knows then we're equipped. So interruptions always come, and we always have an excuse. Oh, I got to get up and go. I got to get up. Well, get up a little bit earlier before you go. It'll go well with you if you pray and ask in the name of Jesus to help me with this and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Pray for your spouse, pray for your kids, pray for this church, pray for our cities, pray for Utah, pray for our nation, pray for the world. Pray. I beg of you. Pray. Pray. We must be a praying church. If we really, I mean, honestly, if we really think that God is going to build his church here in Provo, Utah, if we're not praying, we might as well not even be here. That's what it's going to take. That's going to be the foundation. And that's what it's going to take for your family. When you start growing a family, when you start having kids, oh my goodness, why wouldn't you pray for them? That's where the power is. Here's some more verses. 1 Thessalonians 16 through 18, chapter 5. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Another one. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray, pray, pray. Are you praying? Are you praying with your wife? Are you praying with your husband? Are you resisting him on this? Are you praying alone? If you're single, are you praying by yourself? Do you have a prayer closet? Are you praying? Are you praying on your own? Are you praying with brothers and sisters? Are you praying or not? I mean, it is just so basic to this faith that we claim to have. There has to be a communication between us and the Creator, and he desires that. He wants better for you than you can even comprehend for yourself. But he wants to communicate with you. Just like anybody, any relationship you have, if there's no communication, it's just going to peter out. It's just going to die. It's not going to exist. It's not going to happen. Oh, my goodness, we need to pray. He's invited us to come to the throne of grace. He said, come confidently to me, God has said. Come. He's not this God that's just, don't talk to me. No, he's God with his arms open wide. He died on the cross for you. That's an embrace for you. Pray to me. Know me. Know me as your Savior. That's our God. He wants the best for you. His plans for you are better than you can comprehend. He wants you to know him. And we need to ask for his help. Oh my goodness, especially with these precious babies and these children. Hopefully God's leading our families, not us trying to figure it out on our own. Pray. We need to be men and women that pray. I like this verse in Acts the disciples. But when our time was up, we left and continued on our way. All the disciples and their wives and children accompanied us out of the city. And there on the beach, we knelt to pray. I don't know, that just paints a visual to me. There's the disciples and their disciples with their wives and kids going out, and they all knelt on the beach to pray. God, to pray. You know, I had considered, it's awful cold this morning, so we won't do it, going out in the parking lot and just going out there and praying together. You know, the fire marshal was kind enough to assist us with that once upon a time when we first started this church by shutting us down one Friday night. So our service was out in the parking lot, and we prayed. And you know what? What maybe Satan had devised to split us up drew us together. It was a cold day, cold night, not that much different than this. And there we were out in the parking lot holding hands, praying to the creator of the universe. God, bless this little church. Since then, we've started another service. There's two services. And God heard our prayer. You know, this whole thing, you know, I praying with Bill when we first moved to Colorado 10 years ago. We just pray, God, you do it, you do it, you do it, God. We don't know what we're doing. Help us, you lead, God. God, please. And it's hit those prayers and prayers of those before us even. I've met pastors now that said, you know, I've been praying, Steve, I've been praying for a church like yours to come here for about 5 years now. I've had people tell me that. You know, there's been people praying for years and years and years in this city, for this city. And slowly but surely, God just, in his timing, he's bringing it along. He's doing it. And we just happen to be in this season of whatever it is. It's a special time, oh my goodness. Because there's a hard groundbreaking time that people have done before us. That's like with a pickaxe on rock. Ping! Especially in Utah County, trying to start a church here. There's been people praying and praying and ping! The hard ground, where no fruit. Then God brings us in and people start getting saved. And marriages start being repaired. And we see God's church rise up because he's doing it. But it's going to take prayer. And for our families, oh my goodness, for our marriages in this church, I just beg you, husbands and wives, pray together. Don't let your guard down. Pray together. If you're single, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Pray for your children. I pray for my children every morning, and I have for quite a while. And I just wouldn't dare stop doing that. They need my prayers. People need our prayers. You need prayer for yourself. I need it. Oh my goodness, pray for me. Pray for me as I try to lead this church. Pray for more pastors. Pray for more people to help. Please pray that God would lead me in what to teach in this series. And we're going to start an Ephesians series in January. And I'm going to teach it both Friday night and Sunday morning. Please pray for that. Please pray that God would just come in power and anoint that and change us and grow us. Pray. Martin Luther has a good quote. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Are you a Christian? You claim to be a Christian? Are you praying? Are you praying? I'm convicted by this. This is as far as I got. Got to pray, and I got to the part where I thought, well, God would have me talk about prayer this morning. I couldn't get past it. I had to start praying. Because that's it. You and I. We need to pray. I'm going to end this service right now with just a prayer. And ask God to just really lay that on our heart. So, God, I just do. I pray to you, Father God. I thank you, Jesus, as the band comes up, that you would just show us things, God, today. Lord, show us your glory. God, I want to know how to pray. God, I want you to teach me how to pray. Thank you that, Lord, you gave us your prayer. When people ask you, Jesus, how should we pray? You say, well, just pray just like this. Our Father, who art in heaven. Oh, I pray that every morning, Jesus, I pray to you. Blessed be your name. hallowed be your name. Your name is above all, Jesus. Name above all. Your kingdom come, Jesus. Your kingdom come here. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here at the Rock Church. Here in my life. Here in our lives, God. Your will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day, God. Give us today our daily bread. God, provide for us today what we need. That might mean taking things away as well. Stuff we don't need, God. Don't let us have it. Father God. Provide us today our daily bread. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. And that's a salvation prayer right there, God. Forgive us. This world has sinned against you. And we just ask you for forgiveness. And help us to forgive those who sin against us, God. Today people will sin against us. And our knee jerk is going to be to treat them poorly. Lord, help us to forgive them no matter what. Help us in that, God. Lead us not into temptation, God, please. I ask that today. But deliver us from evil. God, deliver us from evil. We cry out. You taught us that prayer, God. We pray it together as a church this morning. We pray it together to you, a holy God. We do. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine, for yours, Jesus, yours is the power. Oh, my goodness. Forever. Yours is. We just pray to you, Jesus. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Amen. So next week, we're going to get right into disciplining. This is when we're taking little guys from 2 years old. Yes, it starts as even as young as two. And we're going to talk about discipline right up to like a 10-year-old. So we'll get right into the nuts and bolts in that. So let's go ahead and sing a couple more songs.